Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Here we go.
Blog Talk Radio.
YFS.com.
Yeah, no, Lord. But you told me a just man can fall 7 times and he'll rise again. And I know that we fall down, but we can get up again. The truth of the matter is, Lord, I just don't want to fall no more.
I don't want to fall.
Yes, you tuned into the right place. This is Michael Anthony Johnson, and this is Niacom, and we're live tonight at 8 o'clock in Central Standard Time, and here's our exciting co-host. What's your name?
Vonda L. Chappelle.
Hey, are you excited about tonight?
Oh, my God, I'm beyond excited.
We have a great show happening tonight, and so if you haven't called in, you probably got a few spots left to call in. Let me give you that call-in number. You know what's going down tonight. You've been seeing the ads all over the Internet. So let me give you that call-in number. There's only a few spots left. The area code 323-693-3830. And just follow the prompts. You press 1, you're going to get a chance to speak and ask some questions tonight. Our exciting guest is here. He's here already. And so let's get ready to get your calls in now. You're going to get locked out. You can listen in on the Internet. And also we have a chat room you can become a part of. So get in where you can fit in right now. And we want to welcome right now to the platform. Let me give an introduction here. I need a wife. I'm single. Check. No kids. College degrees. Not degree. Degrees now. I'm employed. I don't have a criminal record. I'm not gay. I'm not on a down low. I'm emotionally available. Yes, I am. Yes, I am. I'm ambitious. I'm smart. You know what? I'm loyal. With no side chicks. I got rid of the other last week. Okay, funny. See, I told you. Loving, sincere, and I'm ready. And I'm interested. I need a wife, Jack. Jack A. Daniels, you're welcome to the platform. Welcome.
Oh, man. Oh, thank you so much for having me. I'm so honored to be here, and I'm excited. I mean, wow, that was you went through each and every last one of those cards.
Right.
Now, you have every woman wondering, how does he know all of those traits and characteristics? And that sounds real good to me.
Hey.
That's what every woman is saying right now.
Hey, I bet.
Okay, wait. Don't forget about me over here. I don't need a wife, but I do need a husband.
Right. But we're going to talk about that tonight. What's that disconnect and why we're not connecting? Why there's not a completion happening here? That's what we're going to talk about tonight. We're going to open this thing up. We're going to open this thing. I mean, this is my prayer tonight that God would just cause something monumental to happen tonight in relationships all over the world.
Amen. Amen. Definitely. I think tonight is so different for me already. I typically don't have questions. I know when Michael and I talked before the show, he's like, "You got questions?" I'm like, "Nah." You know, he's leaving like God have his way and da 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 da. I'm like, "Okay, I got a psychotherapist, relationship expert, counselor. I got questions." This is like having God in front of me today, so to speak. You know, all those things you want to ask God when you get to heaven. I'm like, today I got Jack on the show. I got questions. So I got like a scroll over here, Jack. I need you to know that.
Oh, boy.
Hey,
you know what? If you have questions, I got answers.
All right. See, we like hearing that, don't we?
Yes.
Well, we're excited to have you on the platform tonight. This is a place where we have a lot of people listening in. We got a lot of people that always download this show. So I'm hoping to leave something out there for weeks and months and maybe years to come for people to get some real concrete answers. And also, you know, what I'm looking at is you're going to reverberate a lot of things that I'm feeling anyway and a lot of men out there in America are feeling. So that's what we're looking for tonight. And so we're excited to have you on our platform.
Thank you so much. I'm definitely excited to be here. So how are we going to do this? I mean, there's so many questions out there, so many speculations that are going on. Where should we begin?
Well,
me first.
Okay, go ahead.
Ladies first.
Go ahead.
I'm like like Michael was last week, I have one question that I hope will start this whole conversation. What is a quality woman, or what is a good woman? That's for my women out there. We want to know what your definition of a quality woman is.
Wow. So you're just going to jump right into it. No
right
introduction
in.
About what
Head
the project
first.
Is. What I mean, just
nope.
like nothing. Just right into what is a good, that's all I need to know. What's a good woman? What's a
quality?
Yeah. Well, for those listeners that have no idea what we're talking about and why you're asking what's a good woman, let me first start off by telling them about the project. So the project is I Need a Wife, Where the Real Women. And what happened is that I have a lot of friends around the country and, you know, just locally or wherever I am. I do a lot of traveling. And it seemed to be a lot of guys that were saying, hey, you know what, I'm single. I'm successful, I'm ready to be married, but I can't seem to find quality women. Now, the quantity is there, but the quality in terms of women is not there. So it made me say, it must be something here, because I know a lot of great, successful guys. They're single, and they've got, you know, maybe great jobs, no kids, college educated, and where is the disconnect coming? And I also know a lot of great women in the same category, same boat, great jobs, no kids, and they got good characteristics, but we're not seeming to mesh up with one another. We're not connected with one another. So I got on this task, and I just started interviewing as many guys as I possibly could. I interviewed over 1,000 men about women, relationships, and commitment, and came up with some fascinating findings about what men are actually thinking and why some of these connections aren't happening. So to answer Fonda's question, so now that they have that background and the backdrop, I can at least set this up the right way. Because what I didn't want to do is just to say it was my definition of what a real woman is. So I interviewed 1,000 guys, and what we came to a consensus was, after I compiled the data and all of that, a real woman was put into an acronym, and an acronym meaning R stands for realistic expectations about relationships, meaning that you're not living in this fairy tale world with Cinderella and this white knight that's going to scoop you up and take you away and sweep all your problems away. Realistic expectations from men about relationships. The E stands for emotionally available, meaning that she's thrown her past in the trash. She's not really carrying around all that baggage, and I'm not him, you know, the one that hurt her, Michael.
Right.
You know what I'm talking
right.
about? The one,
yeah, I got you.
I'm not him. Okay, let's get there. I'm not him. The A is extremely important. The A stands for aligned with the man's vision, and what that means is we are on the same page. You know, two visions in a household means division. You can't.
That's
have
right.
That. So you have to be aligned with the man's vision. And the L stands for loyal and loving, meaning that you're not going to demoralize, despise, degrade, or disrespect you, myself, and or our relationship. So that's what constitutes a real woman, and that's what a lot of these guys are looking for.
Amen.
Real.
Amen.
I
don't know how this is going to sound. I'm clapping right now.
I love it. I love it. That was powerful. I would like to put in like a repeat, but you know how you watch DVR or your TV and then you pop a commercial or you run out and you run back in the room? I want to rewind that segment like right there. So this is one of the shows. Michael's always constantly on me because I don't like to hear myself talk. So I very rarely listen back to our shows. He'll call me, it was a great show. I'm like, yeah, I was there. I heard it. He's like, no, he doesn't care. This is one of those shows I will have to go back and listen to. That was good. I love that. Powerful. Thank you.
Oh, no problem.
You definitely reverberated what I know. What I feel when it comes to that, because we know what's real and we know when we don't have it. And I was reading somewhere, you know, when you're in a relationship and it's not working, and whether you I can tell even when I go out on a date, I know within the first few minutes this is not going to work because
yes,
I can
absolutely
tell. And so you're basically personifying your book is personifying what a lot of men feel in their heart.
Yeah, and you know, it's not so much and this is what I want to be clear about to a lot of the women that are listening. It's not so much that there aren't quality women. It's not so much that there aren't quality guys. The problem is that in order to get to a state of readiness and commitment, there's so many of us that don't know ourselves. And I cannot find you until I find myself. And it's a lot of men going around, walking around, who think that they know themselves, but they haven't gone through a process of unveiling some of the things that are inside of them, meaning what they need, what they require, what they want, what they don't want, what they do like, what they dislike. And when those things come into play, it's a lot of guys out here that just get confused. And because you're confused, now you're stringing some women along on your stringing strategies of hope and hopping from woman to woman and not really realizing how you're hurting the persons that you're engaged with because you don't know yourself. And that's what I found in talking to so many guys, that a lot of us really don't even know what we want, Michael.
Right, right. Wow. Yeah, but you know, we know when we're getting it. You can feel in your heart when you're heading there. And there's been times I've been close, and there's been times that, you know, where I go out and I'm like, oh, this is not it. And so, but yeah, I believe you're right. We don't know what we're searching for, but I believe we know when we're going to get close to it.
True. Very true. Very
when we're getting
true.
Close to it. Let me ask
you
a question.
Funny.
Go ahead, Vonda.
My question is, you were talking about some of the issues with the men and things like that. My question is, what are some of the issues or problems that both men and women have that keep us in singlehood, or keep us single from, or keep us from finding the right person, or actually being in a committed relationship?
There are actually several things, and I mean, I don't want to take up too much time like speculating on that, but I see couples all the time. I mean, I'm a therapist, so I deal and see the true intricate workings of how couples are, and also single individuals as well, people mm-hmm. who are struggling with trying to be that couple. And you know, it's mainly like five questions that I typically ask people when they're really trying to find themselves in terms of relationships. One, it's very important that you're, and I think Michael kind of made a prelude to this before, it's very important that you're comfortable with yourself before you're comfortable with someone else being in a relationship. So it's three really great questions that I typically ask people right off the bat. And number one is, am I the person I want to be without this relationship? That's extremely important, because spending time with yourself and some of the things and idiosyncrasies and insecurities and all of the things that you like about you is extremely important, because if you don't like you, how do you expect someone else to like you? And then number two is, can I see myself being happy with this person exactly the way they are if they never change? Now, it's, think about that. And I know women struggle with this one a lot. And I'll say it again so they can get it. Can I see myself being happy with this person exactly the way they are if they never change? Now, here's the problem with that women have a lot. I'm just going to wait around, and
okay.
I'm going to hope and I'm going to pray that he's going to change. I believe God is going to change him. Guess what? I'm not saying transformations don't happen. I'm in the business of transformations and change. But sometimes a person is who they are in terms of their character, and you just have to learn to accept that. So if you can't love him, like him, be with him for who he is, it's really not going to change. And you have to ask yourself that question. The third one is, do I like myself when I'm around this person, or do I behave differently? That is so important, because have you ever been in that relationship where someone just stifles you or quiets you, or you just don't feel like yourself? You know what I mean? Where when you get around them, your attitude changes, or it shifts, or it you know, you get to be this person who has like this low self-esteem or this demeanor that you can't say what you really want to say. If that's a person that you're around, you really don't want to be around that person for the rest of your life. I was teaching and doing a lecture in Knoxville, Tennessee. And after the lecture, a a guy and a girl. They were sitting next to each other. They were boyfriend and girlfriend. And the guy, I was out, and I was checking my text messages after the lecture, and it was somebody else was going up. And guy comes out, man, and said, man, I really feel you. I mean, I really, really feel you. And this is, it's hard for guys to really communicate. You know what I'm saying, Michael? So
he's talking to me,
and he's young. He's probably like 25 years old. He said, I'm in grad school. I've been with her for 2 years. He said, but, man, I feel like I'm suffocating. I said, well, brother, what do you mean? He said, you know, I feel like I can't be myself when I'm with her. And then I said, well, tell me a little bit more. He said, and this is something that I've never heard a man say before, but there's so many men that feel this way. He said, it seems as if she's taking my voice away.
Wow.
And I said, wow. I said, now, I mean, think about when you, have you ever been hoarse before?
Yeah.
And you lost your voice, and you're trying to communicate something, but nobody can understand you because your voice sounds all crackly, and you know, you're whispering. And think about somebody taking your voice away every day you're around.
Wow.
And that's what typically happens with some of our relationships. So those three questions are the reasons why some of us are disconnecting. But in addition to that, professionally, I see so many people that are lonely, they're bored, they're horny, their eggs are drying up, whatever the case, they'll do whatever they can to settle for something that they shouldn't be in just for a piece of somebody, for a piece of a man, a piece of a woman, and a piece will not get you peace in your life.
Wow. It won't last. The relationship won't last. I've done that before, and I'm just being honest. I've done that before, and the relationship won't last if you just settle for just a piece of what you know that you want. Because you've been know from the get-go it's not going to last. I mean, whether you lie to yourself or put this facade with a thing up, it's not going to last.
Yeah.
You know, it's really funny because I just, oh, my gosh, not even an hour ago, had the very same conversation with someone. And when I'm speaking to people all the time in singles groups and things like that, I tell my single people to watch a desperation meter. I also do a single segment on Monday evenings, and that's the one thing I say all the time is watch your desperation meter, because you're absolutely right. We get to the point where all those things you said, though funny, are very true. We start getting desperate. And the things we at one point always wanted, we had to have, now all of a sudden we're starting to think outside the box. Okay, maybe I didn't have to have that, or okay, maybe I don't have to have this. Because we get desperate, and we're willing to settle. And I know a lot of guys, when I talk to them, they say, I don't like the word settle, but that's what you're doing. If I could find another word for it, I'd use it. But that's exactly what we're doing. We're starting to settle because we're getting too old. Our eggs are drying up. We, like you said, we're getting horny. It's all those things combined together that make us settle. And that desperation meter is going all over the place. It's telling you, it's like, doo, 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 you're settling. But we forget about it. We stop listening.
Yeah. And it's right. Extremely interesting how people end up settling. And it's the idea that they think that there's nothing better out there. However, what's going on now in terms of this whole dichotomy of our relationships and the disconnects that we're having is that people aren't settling anymore. It's just like, you know what, if I can't get what I want, I just won't be in a relationship. So you have all of these single people who are failing to connect to one another because they're adamant about not getting into a relationship that isn't giving them some of the expectations that they really want out of it. So, you know, there's a process that men go through in order to get to a state of readiness and commitment. And I know y'all got some more questions, so I don't know if we get into that just now, but, you know.
Well,
let me
ask you a question. Out of all those conversations that you had, I know you've had a lot of different interviews with 1,000, but when you travel and you go and meet with all these different politicians or whatever, I know you're not going to mention any names or nothing like that, but what is the main thing in men that scares us away from connecting or making a commitment? What is a solid main reason? Or you might have already discussed it, but that's one of my questions. Is there one thing that keeps us men committing into a relationship?
This is what I tell people. We don't have a relationship problem. We have a responsibility problem.
Mm-hmm.
And let me explain that. There's so many of us that are afraid of responsibility. And it's not to say that you're not able to be responsible. It's simply that you're choosing not to be responsible. And being in a relationship and being committed means that you have to be responsible, A, for your emotions, mm-hmm. B, for the honesty, the integrity, the character, the ability to connect with someone and be emotionally available. But when I'm not in a relationship, I don't have to do any of that. The only person I have to take care of is me, myself, and I. And there are so many of us that are playing the coward role, because responsibility means that now someone's going to demand more of me than I'm really willing to give of myself, or that I even know that I have. So it's a lot of people that are afraid of committing to themselves, believe it or not, because, like I said before, there's a 5-step process into getting a man to be whole and getting a man to be ready. And a lot of those struggles come from, well, let me go ahead and list them first, because I know it's a lot of people that are listening and they probably have your pens and papers. You're going to need it. I'll tell you now. There are 5 questions that a man has to ask himself. Number 1, have you lived? Number 2, have you let go? Have you learned? Have you loved? And have you led? I'll say them again because somebody's writing them down. Have you lived, mm-hmm. let go, learned, loved, and led? Have you lived means have you gone through, you know, the understanding of who you are and the identity of everything that represents you? Do you understand who you are and whose you are and where you fit into the scheme of things in terms of your purpose and role and identity for everything in this world? The second part is, have you let go? Now, this is extremely important for guys, because there's some past things that have happened to us that have enabled us to become a whole person, because we're still holding on to some of those things that are holding us hostage. Let me give you an example. The way I did these surveys, I did some in surveys, some in focus groups, and some in one-on-one interviews. I was doing a focus group of about 30 guys, well, 30 guys approximately, and I asked the question. So now, right in this let go phase, we're talking about pain, we're talking about hurt, and we're talking about some of the things that men hold on to, right? Mm-hmm. That are keeping them from understanding themselves. I was in this focus group, 30 guys. I asked the question. Listen to this: how many of you, by show of hands, have had sex with a woman that you weren't married to? Mm-hmm. And purposely tried to get her pregnant? I'll say it again. How many of you, wow. by show of hands, have had sex with a woman you're not married to and purposely tried to get her pregnant? 28 out of the 30 hands
wow.
went up in the air.
Wow.
I know that's a little shocking. Yeah.
Yeah, it
now,
is.
But if I'm truthful, and this is me being transparent as a Christian and some of the things and the flaws that I had in my life, if I'm being truthful, I was one of those hands that went up in the air. And here's some of the reasons why, because I know every woman is like, what? You know? So some of the logic is pretty much what you thought. I mean, pretty much you think, you know what, I'm getting older, I always wanted a kid, you know, I don't want to be the grandpa at the baseball games, or, you know, she's a good woman, so, I mean, she'd probably make a good mother. But then some of them got deeper. Into the psyche of what's really going on and some of the things that men are holding on to. Some of them were more so, you know, I never had a father in my life, and I felt like the more babies I had, mm-hmm. the more it made me a man. It validated my manhood. And y'all know some cats like that, right?
I mean, I sure do.
You know, mm-hmm. well, I'm a man because I got, you know, multiple babies and kids, and, you know, it's some dudes out there like that. And then there was something that even got deeper. There was a guy that said, you know, when I was younger, my mother told me, don't you ever bring anything as black as you into this house. Now listen, y'all heard that before in some of y'all families, but here's the juxtaposition. You know, the first interracial relationship he got into, he went out and he got that woman pregnant so he can make his mother proud.
Wow.
You see the psychology of that
and
the warped mentality of some of the things that men are carrying. So when you're talking about letting go and dealing with some of the pains that a lot of us have inside of us, there are so many things that we're dealing with that we don't even – we're struggling and in this state of indecision and uncertainty that we fear ourselves in a lot of respects because we don't know ourselves. So when you're talking about what's really keeping us from disconnecting, it's the responsibility of identifying some of the hurts and then doing some of the healing and then being able to be in the process of hoping for something bigger, better, greater, and stronger to come around. We don't have a relationship problem. We have a responsibility problem.
Yes, sir. Yes, that's it. I've got a question from the chat room. It says, isn't it a fine line between making sure your standards are reasonable and settling? That's a question from our chat room. Isn't it a fine line between making sure our standards are reasonable and settling?
It's a thin line between love and hate. Martin told us that. don't get me wrong. I'm not saying lower your standards. Your standards are your standards. But here's what happens with standards, and I can attest to this on so many occasions. I got so many women clients that they went to school, they got good grades, they graduated, they got a great job, and then they spent the remainder of their childbearing years chasing a career. And then thinking that everything was going to be okay with all of the guys that they passed up, and then now they're 30 in their 30s or approaching 40, and they're wondering where all the guys are. Well,
yeah.
Amen.
In terms of your I got a witness there. in terms of connecting to what your standards are and understanding what your standards are not is a very thin line, because what you shouldn't do is settle because your clock is ticking or you're thinking that it's not going to get any better. Your standards are your standards, but some of your standards are unrealistic, which goes back to the R that we were talking about, be realistic about your relationship expectations. So I'm saying There are requirements, which are deal breakers. There are needs, which, those are pretty good. But then there are wants as well. And where a lot of us have a problem at is the wants. I want him to be 6 feet or higher. I want him, to be chocolate. I want him to be have a ball head, bow legs, weigh about 175 180 pounds. Am I describing myself? I don't know. But what I'm trying to say is that our wants are typically like the superficial things that really don't matter. What we really need is what matters. We need him to be God-fearing. We need him to have emotional availability, and we need him to love, to support, to be loyal, to treat me like I want to be treated and treat me how I'm going to treat him. I need him to be there for his family and to provide for his family. There are three things that men do very well, and I think this is important that women know this. It's three things. Men provide, protect, and problem solve.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we do extremely well. We've been doing it since the beginning of time. Think about it. In caveman times, we went out, we killed the meat, we brought the meat to you, you cooked it.
Yep.
That was us providing, protecting, and problem solving. We provided, we protected you from the big, mean, saber-toothed tiger, and then we figured out how to kill the tiger. That was the way we problem solved. So we've been doing that for a long time, and that's what we're good at. But if he doesn't have those elements to be able to do that for you, that's something that you need to consider in terms of your standards. Now, deal breakers or requirements are more like, he can't be gay.
Right.
That's a deal breaker. He can't be an atheist. That's a deal breaker. he can't, you know, so some of those types of things are deal breakers. I don't want to spend too much time on that, but the idea is don't settle for what your standards are, but don't put your standards so high that you have to end up settling because no one meets your expectations, and then you'll be the lonely old woman in the house with the cats.
Have you found that a lot of men, and this is a question I have, now, I've got people, let me explain it this way. I got a lot of people that are calling in, but then they don't want to be on live because they give me an indication because I've got a hand signal that goes up. They just want to listen. So I'm hoping I'm asking a question across the board for men. And so if I'm not asking the question across the board, call in, everybody. It's 323-693-3830. Are you finding that there's a lot of men that's out there? I know I tend to flirt a lot. And so, and I don't, sometimes I unintentionally flirt and I have to back myself off because, you know, what are you laughing at, Bobby?
Because this is obviously a man's show, so I'm going to chime in when I get opportunity, but you're not
okay.
By yourself. I'm a flirt too, so go ahead.
I tend to flirt a lot and I got to watch that, but.
Yeah,
I've been in situations where I've been close. I think I was close and then found out, okay, that's not going to work. And so, I'm reserving myself until I find. Have you found there's a lot of men out there reserving themselves until we find that perfect woman? And is there a perfect woman? Have you heard that before? I mean, have you dealt in?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. What is
I'm gonna say yes, and I'm gonna say no. So, but and here's how I'm gonna elaborate.
Because I don't want to be 5 or 10 women I'm talking to. It's a temptation for that. And so that's what I'm saying.
Right. I know. I'm with you. Let me help you out a little bit. I'm gonna help you out. Now here's what people need to understand, and this goes back to the first phase. I mean, because if you're in the flirt, that's the first phase. That's have you lived. Have you lived means you're in that dating process. You're in that discovery process of understanding more of you and who you are and what you need, require, and want. So here's how that works and what it looks like for men.
Mm-hmm.
Men actually have we actually put women into categories. We put women into three categories. There's the freak, the friend, and the forever.
Wow.
Yes, sir.
I'll say it again. The freak, the friend, and the forever. The freak is the straight up drop it like it's hot. I know there's a lot of believers in here, but you know what? I'm telling you like it is. It's the straight up drop it like it's hot, no questions asked. She's typically very promiscuous, and she saw some of our sexual urges. Okay,
mm-hmm.
That's keeping it clean.
Keeping
the friend,
it real too.
Yeah, the friend is the practical one. She's
mm-hmm.
the one that you can lay your head on her shoulder. You can tell her about all your problems, and you know, and she'll help you out with some of your stringing strategies for your freaks. Okay,
mm-hmm.
and then there's the forever. The forever is the good girl. She's mm-hmm. the one you take home to mama. You know, you probably take her to church. She knows where you work. She has all of the great qualities of a wife, and you'll probably end up marrying her, having 2.2 kids, living in the suburbs in a big house with a dog named Fluffy. Now, here's the problem.
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of freaks who
mm-hmm.
think they are the forever.
Right. Right.
And where that and the problem is that there are a lot of guys that aren't being honest about who you are and
mm-hmm.
in terms of what category they have you in. So here's where women need to do their job. And I challenge women to do this all the time. I get a lot of brothers in trouble. I apologize ahead of time, breaking man law. But I know I'm breaking man law. But ladies, this is what you need to do. Ask the question, and this is how you do it. You don't text him, you don't call, you don't email him, you don't say this over the phone. You do it in person, and you ask mm-hmm. this question to him face-to-face. Baby, am I your freak, your friend, or your forever? Now, don't get mad. Don't put your hand on your hip. Don't curl your lips up. Don't press him. You just stand there and wait for an answer. Now, he's gonna panic a little bit.
Okay, now, Jack, hold on. I got to interject here. I have to interject.
Okay.
Wouldn't they know at what level they fall in to some degree?
That's the problem. A lot of women think they're in a certain category. They think they're in you know, whatever level that they're thinking, but they're really not unless you ask the question. It's almost like going to KFC and you eating what you think is chicken. And you've been eating chicken, you've been eating what you thought was chicken all this time, and then a commercial comes out and says, that really ain't chicken. But you've been eating all this time because you're thinking, well, it sure do taste like chicken. This thing is looking good. But because you never asked, is this really chicken? Mm-hmm. You've been eating whatever they've been feeding you all this time.
Ouch. Wow.
So if you don't ask the question, you'll never know where you actually stand. And a lot of women fear the question because they think that they know, and they think that they can, oh, well, you know, I can change him. Or, I mean, I believe that I am who I think that I am. But if you don't ask the question, men are very direct. We think linear. I mean, that's it. You know, like, boom, we're straight down the line. So asking the question then puts him in a vulnerable state to say, or actually not to say, but to actually define who you are. And if he doesn't define who you are, what are you doing with him anyway? And wow. Instead of just assuming and guesswork and, oh, well, I think this is going okay. I think this is right. We've been together for like 6, 7, 8 months. So I guess I'm his girlfriend. I guess I'm, you know, moving in. But if you don't ask the question and define who you are, what are you doing? You're just going through the motions. You're just another woman.
I think they don't want to ask the question because they're scared of the truth.
I was about to say that's the thing.
And typically, you know, we've been doing these forums all across the country with panels of real guys and then audiences full of, like, everybody else. And guys are having an opportunity to really communicate what they feel. And I've been moderating them to get the right questions right. So what comes out of every last single panel is women are really afraid of rejection. And that's amazing to me because us guys go through it every single day. Mm-hmm. I mean, we can get rejected by, there's the excuse. Oh, you're used to it. Oh, okay. So that makes it okay.
It's it's endurance. It's like when you first start working out, you first start going to the gym, your endurance level is not where it's supposed to be. So you're pedaling, you're walking, and your sores all get out for the first couple of days. But once your body gets used to it, then I'm not saying it's ever easy. Don't get me wrong.
Sure. You know, all of these excuses. I mean, you want to know what my definition is for an excuse? An excuse is nothing more than a sophisticated lie that you secretly tell yourself and then try your best to sell to somebody else.
Preach.
I ain't buying.
This is from my past pastor back in Kansas City. An excuse, you heard this before, Vonda. The excuse is the skin of reason wrapped around the meat of a lie.
There you go.
I'm just saying, though, it's hard for women. I don't think it ever gets easy for anyone to be rejected, but I'm just saying when you've done it, when you walk up to a female and you ask her out or you ask her to dance or whatever it is you're asking, she says no, well, you've been told no before. So you're just kind of like, okay, well, on to the next person. I mean, does it really sting the same way after the 25th time as it did the first time, in all honesty?
Let me ask you this. Does it really sting whether he tells you that you're his freak 2 weeks into the relationship, or does it sting more 2 years into the relationship?
Good question.
Well, that's a very good question, but if you're in a relationship with someone, it doesn't matter. You're in a relationship, so whether it's the first day or the 25th year.
No. That's not what I asked you. Mm-hmm. Does it sting more with two? Does it? No. If it's 2 weeks, or does it sting more with 2 years? Now here's the catch. If it's 2 weeks, you can chalk up your losses and move on. If it's 2 years, you've wasted 2 years of your life living a lie. Mm-hmm. Some of the best years of your life, coddling with someone who you had no idea that you didn't even mean much to this person. So now now you're more insecure about who you are. You're more unstable because you've wrapped your life around this person thinking it was a relationship, and now you're hurt. You're hurt, and now you're going into the next relationship thinking that you have to be cautious and overzealous about your suspicions and everything else, and it's going to cause a damaging effect and impact on you to be able to connect with someone else. If it's 2 weeks in or 2 years in, it makes a difference. Handle the rejection appropriately. That's all I'm saying.
I totally agree with that statement, but I'm saying in a relationship versus you being off and out and about and you walking up to a female and you ask for a number, she says no. Does that really sting as much if you're not in a relationship? You don't even know her, she doesn't know you. That was my point. But you're absolutely right. It's going to hurt me more if I've wasted my time with that individual. So
Rhonda,
I totally agree.
Rhonda. Ask the question. Ladies mm-hmm. that are listening, ask your man, are you his freak, friend, or
mm-hmm.
forever? Stand right. there and wait for the answer. Look at his body language. Don't listen to what comes out of his mouth. Look at his body language, because that's going to tell the entire story. That's all I'm trying to tell you. I promise you it's going to save so much pain and agony and pressure about who you are and what it is that you're trying to go through.
Okay,
but
and we have our first question here, too. We got your last two digits of your phone. Are you ready for a question, Jack?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, last two digits of your phone number is 98. You are now on live with Jack A. Daniels. Welcome to the platform and ask your question.
Hello.
Hello, you're here. We hear you live.
Oh, you can hear me. Mm-hmm. My question is, as a female, how do you position yourself? A single female, how do you position yourself? Can you hear me?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we can hear you. And I guess that's a Vonda question, or is that for Jack? Or how you asking? You asking Jack how you should position yourself as a single female?
Who are you? Am I asking Jack the question? Question before Jack or Vonda, whoever wants to answer the question. I mean, I've asked this question before. I've heard other people's answers, but I'm just curious to know. As a single person,
let me ask you this.
It could be male or female.
What do you mean in terms of position yourself?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I've heard this question answered before, and I've seen many people respond to it. How a person, I just want to know you all's opinion. How a single person should position itself. I've heard seen many apostles or ministers or whatever give their take as how a female should be and how male should be. I'm just curious to know how you all would respond to positioning yourself, meaning one would say women should do this, you should be doing this or doing that or whatever. I mean, a person could be single and content with what they're doing, and they may not want to, you know, branch out and go anywhere. Some people seem to think that single people just stay in the house and do absolutely nothing. Mm-hmm. But I'm just
curious
to know.
I got it. Let me say this. Get out of the house, definitely. Okay. And it depends on whether or not you're looking to be in a relationship or you're successfully single. Because there are several people that are successfully single and enjoying it and living their lives. But what I always tell people is live your life. And don't live your life as if a relationship is the end all. And I know some people that every single day they're hoping that they're going to run into someone or that someone's going to come in. Listen, there's no one that can come into your life and save you from you. Because if you don't like yourself, why do you expect me to like you? How do you expect anyone to like you if you don't like yourself? So for me, I say positioning yourself is all about whether or not, you know, you really want to be in a relationship. Now, if you want to be in a relationship, then I say date. And this is what I try to tell women all the time. Women are so afraid, again, we're back to this rejection thing, dating. and dating does not equal sex. And I think that's the problem that a lot of women have in their minds is that they think that it equals sex, and it really doesn't. It just means that it's an interviewing process that you're going out and you're figuring out what you need, require, and want. So date as many men as you possibly can. It doesn't make you, you know, less worthy. It makes you understand the options that are available. Because I guarantee you, men are doing it. And
right,
we're doing it,
right.
And we are exposed to as many options as we possibly can get. And we're figuring out what we like and what we dislike. So I'd say get out there and date. And then another thing, because I know this is more of a Christian-based show, get out of your church. I'm not saying don't go to church. I'm saying if there are no men in church and you in church all week long, Monday, mm-hmm. you at choir rehearsal, Tuesday, you at Bible study, Wednesday, you at prayer meeting, Thursday, usher board, Saturday, you got, you know, membership, new members meeting and everything. Hey,
right.
if your church is 80% women and 20% men and half of them is
deacons, oh, Jesus.
You ain't going to find no man, or no man is not going to find you in the church.
Right.
So get out and go to where men are. Go to where women go. You know what? Men are at football games. Men are at the gym or playing basketball, or men are at, you know, a real good secret for where men are? Home Depot. Guess what?
Yes. Oh, I know that.
He's at Home Depot. Guess what? He's handy, and he probably owns his own home. You see what I'm saying? Another place that women should be checking out is the grocery store, but don't go when you go to the grocery. Men don't go to the grocery store during the day. We go at night and late at night.
Mm-hmm.
You go to the grocery store late at night, you ain't going to see nothing but men walking around with boxes of cereal and potato chips.
So you're right.
So my point is, get out and do as many things as you possibly can outside of your norm. Be different. Think different. So if you go like one way to work every single day, take a different route to work. Because 9 times out of 10, you're seeing the exact same people that you're typically seeing. So, yeah, if you want to position yourself correctly, do things differently than you would typically do them, and you'll see things differently than you typically see them.
That was good. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. Hi, Vonda. Hi. Bobby.
Oh, hi, Bobby.
Yeah.
Nice to hear your voice, Bobby.
I know.
It's not that I don't listen in, but I'm kind of busy sometimes, so it's like I try to listen when I can. So it's my first time
awesome. Getting
through.
Hey, well,
awesome.
Thank you so much for calling in. We appreciate it. I got a question I want to ask. Do you hear a lot? I mean, this is something as far as men being the chaser or the pursuer. There's a lot of women out there that wants to pursue it. It's a growing trend now of women, you know, not being afraid or they're being more aggressive. Do you find men find that intimidating a lot in your conversations and in your discussions, or they want to pursue themselves, or we want to be the one that hunts? Is that a turnoff to a lot of the men that you might have interviewed?
You know what? I think it's a two-way street, because some men, and here's the problem. I do a lecture that's called The Cultural Crisis of Identity, Images, and Intimacy. And it has everything to deal with where we are in our society in terms of our history and our current state of why we're disconnected. And what you have to realize is that the history of the black culture and the
mm-hmm.
way it is the way it is now is that the woman head, or the matriarch, has always been the head of the household.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And you can go all the way back, and this is African American history, not African history. And mm-hmm. in terms of slavery, and the job of the mother was to protect the family,
right.
or to do whatever it took to make sure that the children were okay. And the man typically was defenseless in this because he was often beaten, was often killed or taken away from the family. So the mother was like a mother hen, and
mm-hmm.
You go all the way up into, I don't want to take too much time on this, but you go through slavery and up to eugenics, which is a government process of keeping the black family apart even more. When you're talking about mothers who are then on government assistance and welfare, well, the idea is that if you're on welfare, everyone knows that a man cannot be in the house, right?
Right, right.
So now that's disconnecting us even further. So now you have this, you know, a man really wants to take care of his family. He wants to do for his family. He's going to do the best thing for the kids and for the family. And the woman's going to do the exact same thing. But we still have this disconnection of all of us not being together. So when you're talking about women being aggressive, now you lead up into today's time where 70% of the households are headed by women, or 68% of our children are being raised by single women. And when you're talking about that, you're talking about women that are raising boys, women that are raising boys without their father's presence. So what sometimes what boys see as an attractive woman is that aggressive woman who is always the one that took care of the family and did whatever they could in order to maintain the integrity of who they were, which is their mom. Now, in certain respects, and I think this is extremely important, and then I'll kind of, you know, wrap it up, but I think that when you're talking about a man that has issues dealing with women who, you know, he hasn't really connected to, a man will really never truly connect, love, and appreciate a woman until he is reconciled with some of the things that he's done or has experienced from his mom. Some of the resentment that he carries along, and I want to explain how that happens. It happens, and it doesn't happen for everyone, but it happens for some. So when you're talking about a child that's born and raised in a household with just his mother, eventually that child is going to get older. And everyone knows that, you know, when he's 14, 15, it's only so much a mom can do to discipline that child. She can't raise her hand to him anymore, and now he knows that she can't raise his hand. So now he thinks that he's a man. So instead of physically threatening him and putting the fear of God into him, she now has to do alternative solutions, meaning that she has to coerce him or manipulate him or, you know, trick him into doing what it is that she wants him to do. This is his first impression of a woman. This is his first impression, and sometimes only impression, of what a woman does. So if he's going into relationships, you know, thinking that women are going to manipulate, they're going to, you know, coerce or convince and connive, because he's seen his mother do it. So he's going to be extremely cautious about who he wraps himself into. Not to mention that she's probably one of the ones that kept him away from someone he really wanted to be with, which was his father. Not to say that that happens all the time, but he resents her for not allowing or giving him the opportunity to become the man that he really wanted and knows that he should be, because his father was not around. So until he reconciles with some of that resentment, he will chase other women that are very, very close to his mother. He will date his mother, ultimately, until looking for that reconciliation to resolve some of the resentment that he carries. So some men are immune to that aggressive behavior and welcome it. But then there are others that are the pursuers. They're the hunters. We like to go after what we chase, and it's more appealing to us. And in that case, you know, it's almost like, I mean, you have some of these self-sufficient, independent, single women that are just so powerful in everything they do, and, you know, their jobs and, you know, their managers, and then they come home and they want to be the manager and the supervisor at home, too. It doesn't work, boo.
It sure doesn't.
You know, a man, you still have to allow a man to be a man. So that's where a lot of the disconnections are coming as well. And I know that was like the long way around it, but I had to say that because I think it's very important in understanding some of the psychology behind why some of us aren't connecting.
Okay, I've got two questions coming up on the line, but I've got a second question to that. Can I go first? I connected with what you said because I had a strong black mother. And at some point, she got to the place where she said, okay, if you can't abide by my rules, get out of my house. I did that, and I left at 16 and never came back. So when I'm, you know, when I'm in a situation with in a relationship or in a dating situation, I like to pursue. If somebody begins to be aggressive with me, that turns me off quick because, you know, because of that strong influence I had at home, I'm not looking for that in relationships, and I know that's going to be the premise. Of if the next step is, you know, going further in a relationship or in marriage. So I know if somebody begins to be aggressive with me, that's not going to work with me. And so so I remember with that hit home with me. I've got a young man has got a question. You're number 34, the last two digits of your phone number, and you are live. Go ahead and ask your question. You're live. You ready?
Hello?
Yes, we're right here. Go ahead and ask
your question. Okay, the question that I have, my cousin wants to know, because she's on the line as well, what's your definition of being faithful? Once you're in a relationship with somebody or you're dating someone,
definition of faithful. I think it varies, but I have a pretty extreme definition. I think it's only two statuses. I think either you're single or you're married, and here's why. The in between thing is called what? So if I'm single, what's the in-between thing called?
Engaged?
There you go. Working up to marriage is called engaged, right? So where a lot of people go wrong is that, you know, they don't have boxes on applications that say, I'm dating. here's what I'm getting at. If you're in a relationship, you need to understand the definition of that relationship. It goes back to what I was, you know, getting me and Vonda were going back and forth of. Define what it is that you're actually doing. So if this, if you're dating, date with a purpose and date with an understanding of where this is leading up to. Otherwise, you shouldn't really have any commitments. You should really, you can't be committed to someone who's not committed to you. If you're dating someone in terms of being faithful, and again, faithful is, you know, relative, but it goes back to what I said, dating does not equal sex. So if you're dating and you're putting people through these interviewing processes, if you're just doing some interviewing, I mean, you really don't have a job yet. So unless you get a letter of intent that says, yes, we're interested in hiring you, and we're going to move forward with this application process and bring you in, which to me says we're dating with a purpose to be married, and that means if we're dating with a purpose to be married, we should probably go ahead and get engaged, which then leads to marriage. So that's why I say that it's only single or married. I mean, I don't waste time with the whole, well, I don't know, you know, he's not faithful to me. Faithful how?
We have another call with a question. You're live. 77 is the last two digits of your phone number. Welcome to the platform. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah. So I was calling here out of California, IA. And I was wondering, you know, you've been talking about all these kind of men problems they've been having and everything like that. And what are they even doing anyways getting into a relationship? But women is so much responsibility. They're like carrying a handbag that's worth $1,000 and you got two pennies in the cornbread. You know what I mean? So, if you don't have no problem, you know, getting into a relationship, what's wrong with just having a sexual relationship? You know, just take it away all the hard part and just get you straight to what you want so you can keep on with your life without all the emotional attachments.
So what was the question?
What was the question?
Ha ha! How you doing, Uncle McGee?
Uh oh. Oh, that's my nephew. You gonna get it? So.
Oh, right. This has been a great show. I'm sitting here at work, and my employer is sitting here. He's listening to the show. He's understanding a lot of what you're talking about, saying how, you know, people can't love you if you don't love yourself and stuff. But, like, a question I was thinking of is, how can a person get into a relationship with all this baggage that you're talking about? That should be, like, the last thing on your mind. So my question is, what's wrong with going straight to the sexual aspect of a relationship? I mean, of a encounter, you know? You know you're not ready for it, you know, and, you know, however age or if you have mother issues or your ex-girlfriend issues or problems at church or, you know, you can't find somebody because I'm a man and I go shopping during the daytime, you know, but I work at night. So, you know, if I'm not going to find any women in that type of way, what's wrong with me just having a sexual encounter?
Well, it's a. Let me say this. In terms of giving yourself away and spreading your seed and, you know, having sexual encounters, all like that, I'm not gonna tell you what you should and shouldn't do. But what I will say is this: in terms of relationships and responsibility, we're already struggling with a sense of irresponsibility when it comes to men. So let's just say you really don't want a relationship, but you're out having a sexual encounter, and you know, something happens and the condom bursts. And you know, we're not going to talk about just the diseases, but let's talk more so about the responsibility that you have to now this person that you're just randomly going around and sleeping with. Now you have a child that you brought into this world with someone who you were randomly just sleeping with. You don't think that she's a good mother. You don't think she's a real woman. You don't think that she even has any of the values that you really believe in or that you think that exists for the perfect person for you. But now you have this person and this responsibility that you have to have for this little guy that's coming into this world. Where do you draw the line that says, I'm a bigger man and I know myself enough to not disrespect myself or someone else that I'm trying to bring into this world, and to be responsible enough to say, you know what, I can discipline me enough until I find a relationship that I'm ready to get into. Otherwise, I'm just spreading around things that really make no sense, and it's causing me more danger than it is any opportunity. So I'm a finance guy, and I know you said something about two pennies in a cornbread or something to that effect, but when you're talking about the risk opportunities that exist or the opportunity costs that exist, I mean, what's the risk and what's the reward? So for me, I can't do any randoms. That's just, you know, that's like totally off the charts for me. I'm at an age where that's just reckless, irresponsible, and there's too much of that going on, and it's killing our community and our culture only because you're more interested in just getting a simple, you know, 7 minutes of pleasure.
Right.
And you think that 7 minutes of pleasure is going to probably add a lifetime of heartache, not just for that girl, but for that child who's probably not going to see you because you don't want to have anything to do with her, and she's not going to have anything to do with you because you were nothing more than a random that she probably regretted. And now you messed up somebody else's life, and he's going to have all of these pains that he's carrying around. He's probably going to go out and have multiple more kids because you weren't around, and he didn't know how to understand how to be a man because you didn't really know how to be a man and keep in control yourself.
And he brought somebody else into this world that, you know, and that's creating a problem for them when they grow up because, you know, and they didn't have to be here.
It's a domino effect.
Yep.
I have a question, too. I think Jay brought about one of my questions, actually, and as you were talking on healing and hurting and baggage and all that, how does one, whether it's a man or a woman, how does one begin to heal it from a bad relationship or bad experience, or how do they start getting past all of that baggage?
Well, first and foremost, I say go buy the book, I Need a Wife, Where Are the Real Women, and it has extraordinary exercises that help you do just that. And if the first thing you have to do is understand where your hurt comes from and where your pain is and why you're that painful. I also have a lot of programs built around healing. And what a lot of people don't understand is that in their relationships, you're in three phases when it comes to, you know, you not being in a relationship. So people always say, you know, well, why are you not in a relationship or da-da-da-da, and people say choice, right? You know, why are you choosing not to be in a relationship? There's only three reasons. Either you're healing, hurting, or hoping. Healing, hurting, hoping. And the hurting part is, you know, either somebody beat, mistreat, cheat, or something to you that puts you in that phase of I'm hurting and I'm going through it. I was disappointed. I didn't get what I really wanted to get. Then you have to move into, once you realize that you're hurting, you have to move into the healing phase. And the healing phase is something that acknowledges some of the pains that you're going through. And step by step, you have to take a gradual make a gradual process out of understanding each element of that hurting part. So the first part, like I said, is identifying, and then identifying the hurt. Second part is like actually doing the healing. And I have a wonderful book that's called From Wounds to Wisdom, How to Heal a Broken Heart. It's a phenomenal process. It's actually part of a program that I did. It was called Healing 100 Hearts in 100 Days. It's helped over 17,000 people worldwide to date. It's a phenomenal process that's easy, it's convenient, and it gives you great exercises that are going to teach you how to make what you think is uncomfortable comfortable. And it puts you into that phase of going through little small exercises, like just changing some of the logic and some of the rationale that you think of on a daily basis into things that help you move forward in progressing of getting over some of the hurt.
Hey, Jack, let me do a commercial for you real quick. I do have somebody that's in the chat room saying, great topic, need topics like this in the Caribbean. So I want to pass that on to you. And if you're if you go to Amazon.com, you can pull up Jack A. Daniels, and you'll see I Need a Wife. I'm downloading the book right now. I got a Kindle. I'm doing my Kindle edition right now online. Go get the book. And also, there's several other books out there. And also, if you would go to www.goodwomenonly.com, you can see some excerpts from that book. You can see some things that talks about what Jack is doing. Am I doing a good job, Jack?
Oh, man, yeah, that works out real good. Yeah, goodwomenonly.com.
Michael, we have another question in the chat room. One of the ladies is asking, why is it that women are supposed to accept men with all their faults? And as soon as you show your first sign of weakness or deviate from his ideal of perfection, he's gone with the wind.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, and you know what? I say don't. I say you don't have to accept anyone with all of their faults. It's your choice. And what you have to realize is that you have faults too. But if you expect them, it's like a catch-22. If you expect me to do it, I expect you to do it. But also grow together in those faults. So when you're talking about people's faults, though, and then men actually, you know, as soon as you show that first sign of vulnerability or whatever, men are like turtles. And I say this often, men are like turtles. We're hard on the outside, soft on the inside, willing to stick our necks out for what we believe in. But when you crack that hard exterior shell and get to the soft part of who we really are, if we're vulnerable enough and exposed enough, we'll then surrender to you. But then once that is hurt, we retreat back into that shell. And it's really, really hard to get a turtle to come back out. Now, in terms of you, as a woman, it's pretty much the same exact thing, except you're not a turtle. But you're more open to the level of vulnerability and open to your emotions. And what you have to realize is men utilize women to tap into their emotional states and some of the things that their softness, their gentleness, their sensuality, and the things that we don't really have in terms of being, you know, who we're supposed to be from an emotional standpoint. So that level of vulnerability is extremely hard for us. But what I'll say is that he hasn't gone through the readiness process. If he's retreating that fast, there's some things that he doesn't know about himself, and he needs to go through the process of has he lived, has he let go, learned, loved, and led. And leadership is extremely important when you're talking about relationships, because there's only two things a guy has to do: decide and commit. That's it.
Yeah.
Decide and commit. We have options. We know them. They're there. And I know a lot of us are looking for that superficial, perfect woman, but there's so many options that are on the table. The only thing you have to do is decide and commit, but that takes a level of leadership. But you have to make it through the other four processes before you can get to that. Women, this is I Need a Wife, Where the Real Women Are, is an extremely great book for women to get a peek under the tent and to the psyche of what men are actually thinking. And then men, it's a blueprint and a process to help us get to that readiness state of understanding where we're supposed to be in terms of commitment and marriage.
Now, let me make a correction. I think you corrected it real good. Goodwomen.com is no www, right? It's just the HTTP, goodwomen.com. And also, if you're looking for...
I actually think you can do it both ways. I don't know, you know.
Okay,
Yeah, goodwomenonly.com, so.
Goodwomenonly.com. And also, if you want Jack for interviews or speaking engagements, you can visit www.pressurepause.org. And also, if there's anything else you would like to share, any events, any upcoming things that's happening right now that are in the future that you got coming up?
Oh, man, we'll be here all night. I mean, I...
sign your page, right?
You know, I do a lot of lecturing and a lot of events in terms of, especially this project here. I mean, I partner with a lot of different organizations and do a lot of speaking at churches. Did some partnerships with Radio One, the NAACP, Yolanda Adams, Health and Wellness Tour. So, I mean, trying to get this message out of what guys are really thinking and why we're having some of these disconnects. And we're doing these symposiums that are pulling in some massive numbers of people. I mean, you know, I was in Knoxville, Tennessee, and we had over 2,000 people talking about relationships and and why the same conversation we're having here. My goal in this whole endeavor is to create a platform where men can be heard about some of the things that they have on their mind, because there's so many women got magazines, you got books and television shows, you got Oprah and Ellen, and you know, and when you look at magazines and all of the articles that are written about what a man wants, what a man needs, and you scroll down to the bottom of it, it's typically written by some woman. Well, women can't really tell me what I want, what I need, because they haven't lived in my shoes. They're just not a man. So I really want women to understand some of the insights of real men, and that's what this thing is doing. We're trying to come to Dallas, working on some things, trying to make it happen.
You gotta let us know.
I'll definitely let you know. The tour was supposed to go through Dallas, but we had some cancellations. But you know, it's gonna come back again. Also, right now, currently, you know, you can find me on the Coco Brothers show that airs, you know, nationally. I don't know if is it air down in I'm pretty sure it airs in Dallas on one of your praise stations down there, maybe. I'm not sure, but also probably, like, you know, going on tour with him, doing the whole Jesus Stand rallies, and we're going to try to bring the forum out in that shape, form, or fashion too, and putting some pressure on Rolling Out magazine, trying to do a couple of tour events with them as well. So hopefully they're listening, because this is the third show I've said it on, and y'all better come through with the check. So, but yeah, I mean, look for this is what you do. Go to goodwomenonly.com. It's a list of tour events that are there. You can check out the entire thing. You can look at the videos about the symposiums, all of that kind of stuff. Invite me to speak to your university, to your church, to your women's group, whatever the case. I mean, we can negotiate some things and work some things out, but I'm available. I mean, I've been around the country talking about this stuff, and it's been some phenomenal healing taking place, and also some connections being made, because what we're doing is we're bringing people and we're putting them all in this room and saying, hey, here are the problems. Here are some of the things that we think, and now what are we going to do about it? And providing some actual solutions and some making some connections with some people that, you know, women saying, well, I'm quality. You got guys saying I'm quality, but we're missing one another. Well, you take one quality person, put it in a room with another quality person, and bam, you make a connection. How easy is that?
You bring some synergy out, and we begin to understand where our disconnects are in our lives, and somebody may have the key to that disconnect and bridge that gap in our lives. So I love it.
Yeah, and then connect with me on Facebook, you know, Jack A. Daniels, and then or I think it's on Facebook, I think it's I Am Jack Daniels, and then Twitter, All Jack Daniels is my Twitter handle, and just get in touch with me and stay in touch with me and make sure that this is, if you're curious about some of these questions. I mean, if somebody out there is needing therapy, you can reach in touch with me too. I mean,
okay.
Yeah, I'm all over the place, man.
Hey, yeah, I put my friend request out there. You gotta accept my friend request on Facebook.
I'm trying to get better at Facebook. I know.
I'm not gonna say nothing.
Bobby told me.
I'm going to stay the nice little quiet person I've been all night. I have been quiet, haven't I?
That's right, because the men are taking over this show,
that's right.
What we do. We're taking our rightful position as leaders. That's what we do.
That's what we do. That's what we're made for. Hey, you mentioned something about turtle. Men are like turtles. They have that. I have some people call it man caves. We go into a man cave sometimes, don't we?
Oh yeah. I mean, you gotta have that. That's just necessary in order to maintain your sanity, man. You gotta.
Hey, thank you for saying that.
Yeah.
That was really good. I just really love that. I posted that just now on my page. I love that. That was powerful.
I saw that.
Right. What I want to say again, we had to, a lot of our people got logged off because the show typically ends at 9 o'clock. So I want to apologize for those who were logged on because at 9 o'clock it clicks them off. So unless they actually called in, they actually got cut off from the show. So again, my apologies. But one of the questions in the room was they wanted you to repeat what a real woman was. And so that way when they download it, she'll be able to actually see that we did ask the question and some of the other questions that came forth as well. So if you could do that again,
cool.
That would
be
great.
Yeah, a real woman is an acronym, and the R stands for realistic expectations about relationships. The E stands for emotionally available, meaning that she's thrown her past in the trash. The A stands for aligned with his vision. Two visions in a household means division. We can't have that. And the L stands for loyal and loving, meaning that she won't demoralize, degrade, disappoint, or disrespect herself, me, and or our relationship. Did you get it?
Awesome. Yep.
Awesome.
This has been a fantastic show. When can we have you back?
Invite me back, man. Invite me to speak. Invite me. Yeah, just invite me back. Just call me and say, hey, we need you back on the show. Even though it's like, 9, 10 o'clock on a Saturday night.
Hey,
I was wondering when that was going to happen.
I hope some people from the community college is listening so we can see if we can get you at one of the colleges to speak. Because these are some great topics.
I just got done speaking at College Today, the Life University. So, I mean, I do a lot of universities and colleges in terms of the lectures and some of these symposiums. Because these forums, the young people are craving it because they don't have any direction in terms of understanding what they're doing in relationships. And you'd be amazed at what some of these kids are doing in some of their relationships right now. They just don't have a clue.
They don't have a role.
I mean,
I told you at the beginning of the show that some of the things I saw this week is 150 likes from 18, 19, 17-year-olds. They don't know. And I believe they're going to download this show. The majority of the downloads will be, in their age group.
And that's wonderful. You know why? Because they need this information. We need it. I mean, you're talking about young people. I mean, there's some 40, 50-year-olds that still come out to these symposiums because they don't get it either. So it's simply understanding. I'm amazed at how many of us don't do the work necessary to improve our relationships. I mean, we study everything else. We if our car needs oil, we take it to Jiffy Lube. If we're hungry, we go to the grocery store. If something's wrong with your relationships, where do you go? And a lot of things are wrong with our relationships, and a lot of us have so many problems, and we don't really seek them out to solve them. And I know this is getting off into, our culture, and I'm really adamant about pushing mental health, and I think it's extremely important in terms of the awareness because we have a stereotype and stigmatism about getting help. We have so much pride and so much, arrogance and ego that we think we don't need it. And I'm here to tell you, don't be afraid of raising your hand for help. I mean, you can call me. I'll refer you to someone else. I'll get you to a place where where help is available. And it sometimes I say this a lot, and you know, but I speak at a lot of churches, and I can say this: you can't pray your way out of every situation.
Right.
Faith requires works. You mm-hmm. know, so if you know, you may have the faith, but if you're not working at it, what is it that you're doing? So practical steps to help get you towards that prayer that you've been praying. God is waiting for you to participate in your own rescue. And there's so many of us that are just sitting around waiting for an answer or something to magically appear. Well, he probably gave you the tools and some of the things that you actually need, but instead of you utilizing them, you're just sitting there waiting, stagnant, standing still, and stuck on stupid.
Yep, and that's it.
He's trying to tell you, move. Here's some of the tools. So reach out for help, whoever it is, not your cousin, not your girlfriend, but somebody that's professionally trained or somebody that has some type of insight into your situation.
Right.
Oh,
wow.
I can't believe it's 9:20. That was good. I mean, one of our people that got cut off texted me or emailed me on Facebook, and he said he's from the Caribbean, and he was really upset that the show cut off. He said we needed, I think Michael Earth said it earlier, he said we need a show like this in the Caribbean. So I'm praying that, you know, he'll download the show in its entirety, but I can't believe it's 9:20. We have had an awesome time tonight. I mean,
yes.
We haven't played any music. We just talked. I feel like The View. It was really good.
Well, this was The View into relationships. My goodness, this
it was
a good
awesome.
Topic.
It
yeah,
awesome.
I have enjoyed it. Yeah, no, we can't go on and on, but I have enjoyed. No, I was just playing.
I hear you, but if you
stop,
segue into another show.
Say something else.
Yeah. I have enjoyed y'all. Trust me. Any chance or opportunity that you all have, and you're in need, and you have like an opening on the show, just invite me to speak, and I'll be more than happy to come back and talk about some more of these topics, because it's important. And
yeah,
I think
right.
our community and our culture is lacking some real relevant information in terms of helping us move forward with our relationships. And if we can just disseminate this information and turn it into action steps that are going to help people do better and be better, that's what I'm all about. I mean, my philosophy is stay out of your own way. And And understanding that is just having the courage to do some things differently, the conviction to believe you can actually accomplish it, and then the commitment to finish whatever it is that you started. That's what staying out of your own way is all about, and I encourage everyone to do it, not just in your relationships, but in your career, your finances, your spirituality, your health, whatever it is that you're working on, work to do better and to be better, and just stay out of your own way while you're doing it.
Yeah, it's been an honor to speak to you, and thank you very much for donning on our platform. This has been truly a blessing for myself, and I can hear from Vonda, you know, and even our listeners. I mean, some of them are still listening on, and some of them are in the backgrounds listening, even from their laptops. Thank you for tuning in and listening. This has been a blessing all the way around. We will have you back. And also, I'm going to be looking for a way to see if we can get you here locally. One of our colleges, I work for the Dallas County Community College District. We got about 10 campuses a year. And I'm seeing if I can share this with some people from the campus and see if we can get you out to one of the programs that we have periodically.
Hey,
so.
Appreciate it. And in the meantime, if anyone's still listening, I need a wife. Where are the real women? Go to goodwomenonly.com. You can find all of the information that you're looking for. I promise you, this is going to be information that's going to heal your life and give you some growth in every area. So get that book, man. DVD is coming out real soon. I got to get you on it, Mike.
Oh, yes. Want to be on it.
What about me?
No. This is an all-man thing.
You got my information, and also I'll inbox you everything. Once you pull me into your Facebook, I can inbox you everything, so I don't mind at all.
I got you.
Yeah, I just feel so left out tonight, but that's okay. I got plenty of notes and a lot of knowledge tonight, so thank you.
All right. Hey, God bless y'all, man.
Hey, God bless you, too, and we'll be in touch, and like I said, we'll be working with you as well. We're going to see if we can get you on the college circuit here.
Okay. Y'all take care.
Okay, God bless. And everybody, good night. Good night from Niacom.
Peace.
Peace.
Good night.